With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
First, there was nothing. And then God said, let there be Baja.
I haven't read the book, but I guarantee that's the first line. Hello and welcome to the Lore Boys, the number one fake history podcast where our master's will is done. My name's James Miller, and today, who's here today? Who do we got?
You are not prepared
for Ethan Palmer, co-host, extraordinaire. Did I get it right? Did I get the expansion right?
I think that's Illidan. I think that's the TBC expansion, but not bad.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And
I can't.
I'm one of the Peter O'Donohue, one of the screaming ice skeletons from the trailer.
Discord was like, that is not a sound that we want to let through. He cocked his head back and screamed, and Discord's like, nope.
Like a bat stuck in your window between the pane and the screen.
We're all familiar with that.
Opening his mouth to noises.
Well, we will be talking about bat-like creatures. Definitely pain will be a part of what we talk about today, too.
Yeah, like panes of glass and things like that?
Well, maybe not that. But,
okay.
I don't know of another one.
I'm excited to find out what, then.
Yeah. Do we have any new patrons there, folks? I think I saw a couple emails come in this week.
Yeah, we have some thank yous to give out. Thanks to new patrons Hunter Bishop and Terry Gill. Thanks so much for supporting the show, you guys. It means the world.
I love your movie Brazil, by the way, Terry Gill.
Yeah, I do too. I don't get the joke, but I do too. I didn't know a cinematographer had followed us on Patreon. Also, thanks to Forshee. Thanks as always, man, for upping your plez, and then Terry for also a new plez.
Our boy Terry in Australia. Yeah. He I have him on Instagram. I think he got a new car. He was like taking pictures of this hot red BTO, I think it is, and it looks awesome. It's got like 100,000 kilometers on it. He's probably out driving in the outback, just doing crazy.
Yeah,
shit.
Doing donuts in the desert or wherever the fuck he lives.
very cool, Terry. Warboy Prime, as always. So shout out to him. Yep. As always and forever.
Yep. So yeah, this is a request from longtime supporter Jesserful. Server booster Magnus the Pink, regular old listener Coughing Cat, and I even found Ethan said more WoW lore, please, in the lore requests.
Oh. I as the resident multi-parter on the cast, I always, for the same reason I do multi-parters in my own episodes, because like a little taste of the lore is never enough when I know there's more of it. Is the same reason why I'm like to you guys, like, yeah, do more WoW, do more Battletech, because it's like, I know there's more out there. I want to learn more. I'm already invested in the universe, you know. So,
yeah,
Ethan's request is Ethan's currently the guy requesting more Green Lantern.
Yeah. And I guess like
mantle
experience wise, I know Pete played like at a friend's place a long time ago. You don't have like Warcraft experience, but you have World of Warcraft experience, right? A little bit.
Yeah, I played WoW on a free server in high school.
Nice.
I've never played retail. Like, I've never played legit WoW. I played a dwarf paladin at my buddy Logan's place. In high school, or maybe even in elementary school, because I guess it came out in 2000. Like, I played vanilla on private servers.
Right. And Ethan played every expansion up until Shadowlands, if I remember right.
Yeah, I played original WoW. Like, I played the original vanilla for like a week before Burning Crusade. So I never really played original, but then I got to 70, like maybe 2 months before Lich King. And then for you and me both, I mean, Lich King is where we played the most back in the day, and where I think I sank the most time was probably into Lich King.
Yeah. Lich King's awesome. It's about to come out, like the classic version, re-releasing at the end of the month. I think it may share the due date with Ethan's baby. both Ethan and I will be very busy in the coming month.
Yeah.
Ariane, wait, no, reasons. Not yet. I like that we're finally throwing a bone to Magnus the Pink. He's got his Bernie Sanders meme on lock, but I'm glad he's finally getting one in there.
Yep. It's not Canadian. It's not Canadian lore, but
nope. No,
mainly because that's not lore. That's just history.
Yeah.
Yeah. My experience with WoW, if you listen to the last episodes, I got in at Wrath and then I kind of played pretty casually. Like I never really raided, or I did some like Battlegrounds, but never Arena. I played very casually. Like I'd always play like a month and a half, get really into it and just forget about it. Until Classic WoW, where it consumed my life.
Yeah, Jamie got sweaty with Classic.
I got really sweaty. The beginning of the Burning Crusade, I was in like the top, like very, like the top 0.02% or the 0.2% of Shadow Priests. So I was like in the top 10. I was fighting for those like top parses and getting really sweaty, like telling my shaman when I need the like lusts and stuff like that, or like making sure that we get the lusts and being in the right groups. And
lust being a shaman spell called Bloodlust, not just lust, that has a very long cooldown but increases your cast speed, I think.
Yeah, it's like a haste thing. And in TBC it's like completely busted because they don't now, like from Wrath onwards, you can only use one per fight, but in theory you could like double lust and do stuff, crazy stuff in TBC. Plus there's like a leather working thing called Drums of Battle, which also included haste, so you have to make sure you have drums in your group. You want to have certain buffs because it scales really well with Shadow Priest and stuff. But it was really, really fun. I went super sweaty, fell off in like the second half of TBC, like after the first phase pretty much. And there's still some raids I haven't done in TBC, but I'm coming back for Wrath. It's really fun because all my old guildies, like, we're in a new Discord server together, and all these people who I developed, like, really strong connections with during COVID, we're all back together and hanging out and chat and stuff. It's fun. So, since we already covered the fall of Arthas in a two-parter back in 2019, even though Wrath of the Lich King, the big bad at the end of this is Arthas, you can find out all about that big bad if you go back and listen. Do you guys remember broad strokes what happened in those two episodes?
His horse jumped a ditch and died.
Yep. He broke its legs.
He spent too much fighting and not enough time paladining, so he couldn't heal it. So he like just like laid and died in its arms tonight. It's a died in your arms. And he laid with his horse. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember he was like an ambitious knight of maybe royal blood or something like that, and then but ended up very much falling onto the, like, at any cost to stop the spread of some kind of curse or virus or whatever, where he ended up just like,
the calling of Stratholme.
Yeah, he slaughtered everyone there because they had infected bread that turned him into zombies or something like that. He killed everybody. Yeah.
Paladins canonically have a cleanse spell, and it's said that they're immune to the disease too. So he could have just like one by one went and healed them, but he's like, no, like, this is going to spread too quick. I'm going to kill
everyone. Too much time.
Yeah, and his mentor's like, you've crossed a terrible threshold, Arthas. And that's
it's so funny because we recorded that episode in 2019, right?
Yeah,
and
I know.
Now being on the other side of a global pandemic, where it's like, oh, if he had just told people to weather at home until the guy with the magic dose came by and just made it safe for them to go out again, everyone would be fine. But we know now that nobody would have sheltered at home and people would have been railing against him and calling him a monster anyway. So.
I took a shower before the podcast and had the exact same thought. I was in there and was like rethinking, like, okay, what was the whole Arthas story again? I'm like, in the context of COVID, like, maybe
it wouldn't work. It wouldn't have worked a good way to do it.
No, if he had just been like, hey guys, don't eat the bread, there would have been immediately some guy who's like, fuck you, and eat so much bread he like threw up.
Fauci should have went through every city and killed everyone with a hammer. That's what
of course. Yeah, CDC Classic comes out next week. It's going to be great.
Then that leads him down a terrible path. He goes, Kel'Thuzad tells him to go up the Northrend. He goes to Northrend. His people want to go back. He's like, no, I don't want to go back. So he gets a bunch of sellswords to burn his own ships, so they're stranded in Northrend.
Right.
Then he finds...
he's being called there by, like, Frostmourne, or...
Kel'Thuzad shows up at the Culling at the Stradholm, and he's like, you gotta go north. This is where it's all coming from, is from Northrend. So okay, to get to the bottom of it, he goes up there. Then he does find Frostmourne after burning all his own ships. And he
Frostmourne,
like,
being his sword.
The big runic blade that is really iconic of Death Knights. Like, every Death Knight does get a runic blade, and you get to actually build it yourself. You take a piece of metal, you bring it to the forge. This is the start of every Death Knight if you make a Death Knight in-game. And then you bring it, and you add the runes to it, and you get to talk to the Lich King himself.
So there's professions in WoW, like leatherworking, to get your leather bongo drums to make priests go faster and stuff.
Get your djembe.
And the new profession with Lich King was inscription, right?
Inscription.
Is like rune carving, isn't it?
Yeah, which is you add glyphs. My Rhett Paladin right now, I just got a glyph that makes exorcism do 10% more damage. Yeah.
I, for the uninformed, what does Rhett Paladin mean?
Retribution.
Retribution Paladin, which is the DPS class of a
it's
paladin.
A skill tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, every class has three skill trees they can choose from. Like, Paladin has retribution,
holy.
Protection, holy,
and protection. Yeah.
And protection.
Okay, yeah.
Which is, like, DPS, healing, and tank.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, not that I think anybody's listening to the show with their grandparents and needs to, like, have us explain what a Bimeobame is, but, no. Like, what the fuck is a Rhett Paladin?
Please do that, because I spend so much time talking with my friends who know all about this, and, like, they know the shorthand, so, yeah, catch me if I do that, thank you.
Yeah, I remember one time we were at a party at Ethan's old place with, like, his roommate, who is, like, a lifer degen, and you guys were speaking a foreign language. Just abbreviations. I remember talking to Ethan, and one, like, pulling him aside, like, what are Jaren and Jamie even fucking talking? He's like, honestly, they lost. Dude, I haven't played this much WoW.
Jamie is definitely the real gamer in this group, because the exact same thing happened after or at BoyCon at McKibben's, where my friend Jason came by, and Jamie and Jason were talking about Diablo 2 because they're both really sweaty into Diablo 2.
Yeah. Okay,
and same thing. It's just like, and I've played a fair amount of Diablo 2, but it gets to a point where I'm like, I don't know.
A 1,000 hours just isn't enough to keep up, frankly.
Yeah. That's it. They're great games, and you can get lost in these whole communities.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It's
a ton of fun. And then Arthas gets Shadowmourne, Frostmourne. It's just
kills Uther.
He kills Uther. He kills his own father. He resurrects his horse. He starts a war on Stormwind or on Undercity was before Undercity, because Undercity becomes that undead place because. Arthas goes
because of Arthas.
Yeah,
I'll look it up. Don't worry about Lordaeron.
Lordaeron, that's right. He was going to be he was the prince of Lordaeron. He was going to be the future king, and ruined everything. Then he goes back up north. He destroys the crown, or not the crown, the throne, the Frozen Throne, which is the third Warcraft expansion, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft,
vanilla Warcraft, Warcraft 3, Frozen Throne.
Yep. And when he destroys the throne, he merges with the Lich King to fully become the Lich King, who was Ner'zhul. So we're going to talk about the Lich King a bit today. Most of it is going to be Ner'zhul until I mention now it's Arthas kind of thing.
Okay.
But we're going to be talking about the Death Knights, which is the new class. If you're coming back to the game or new to the game, it's a fantastic option to, like, get to the end game with your friends faster. Because... Yeah. They're super strong. They were, like, in actual Wrath of the Lich King when Ethan and I played, they were, like, legitimately broken.
Super strong.
Yeah, like...
I played a Blood DK.
Yeah.
I had played my Hunter right up to TBC, then I switched to... Yeah. As soon as Lich King came out, I, like, started... Because you start at 55. You don't start at level 1. Yeah, you start at level 55.
It's the first hero class, they call it. And hero class in Warcraft was, like, these bigger units that had special abilities. And now in World of Warcraft, they added the first hero class, which just means you start at 55 instead of level 1.
Less grind. You can get into the fancy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Like, you start off, like, in, like... And especially for me, who had never, like... Who hadn't spent that much time in TBC, just because, like, I had just leveled to 70 or whatever... So getting to go through those same zones again, like, was much easier. But Blood Death Knights, like, I just never died. Like, you could just heal so much from just dropping, like, these area of effect spells and just, like, you just soak up all this health, and it was super easy.
They heal by doing damage. So they had some of the highest damage in the game. They were tanky, so they could play the tank role, and they also acted as their own healer. So there is 5-man dungeons that Blood DKs could solo on release, because they were just so broken. The Wrath of Lich King that we're going to get is not that broken, but they're still crazy strong. Yeah. Yeah, so there used to be rules, like you can only have one per account per server, so if you're paying for one subscription, you couldn't just make, like, 18 Death Knights, run them through the thing, and basically, like, probably to dissuade bots, because if you're botting and, like, farming resources, if you could start that much closer to endgame...
Start at 55 makes a lot more sense. Yeah,
it makes it easier for bots, especially when they could solo everything. Then they changed it to be, like, well, you have to level to 55 first... And then you can make as many Death Knights as you want, because you already did the grind to 55, right?
Okay.
Now I think you might still need a level 55 in Classic to make one, but I'm really not sure. If you buy Wrath of a Lich King, like now you can get with like a boosted pack anyways. I think you get one free boost anyways, so it's pretty much null. You can get a Death Knight right away. But... one cool decision they made before that they didn't actually follow through with on release of Wrath of Lich King, which I think would have been very, very cool, is you used to have to, well, their idea was that you would have to give up a level 55 character and sacrifice them to become a Death Knight.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah. So
the mech soldiers in XCOM you were talking about a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like RP, like it would have been really cool, but I don't know if they found that like people weren't willing to do that after leveling their character that long, or if they wanted to just this class to be more popular, like how many people are going to level to 55 and like actually make this transition. I'm not sure, but they didn't end up going through that. But
I think plenty of people would have done it, honestly. Yeah. But
yeah, even the opening quote, like when you start, is like, I don't have it with me, but whenever you create a character, they always give you like this little cutscene, and they give you like an explanation, like the blood elves were used to be normal elves until the Lich King came and corrupted the Sunwell. Now they're corrupt and all this, whatever. And they give you the lore
flavor. One of the memories I have is it's like the swoop in with the very janky, like key animated or the keyframe animation swooping camera, like the Stoic Dwarves of Ironforge. Yeah. And then that's it. I don't remember anything after that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. In retail, you could just make as many of these knights as you want now, because so many people are so far in the game. Retail versus classic for the uninformed. Retail is like the normal World of Warcraft that started in 2004 and progressed all the way till now. Classic is the re-release of each expansion, starting with Vanilla, TBC, and now going into Wrath of the Lich King. And with very little changes. There have been more changes as we've gone on, because at first the slogan was hashtag no changes. Then we played Vanilla World of Warcraft and we're like, okay, well, maybe a few changes. This kind of sucks. So in TBC, they implemented a few changes, which most people are happy with. Now they're taking away Dungeon Finder, which is the biggest gripe with the community right now, because they're using the retail version, which lets you choose your party members, which just basically encourages elitism, like the people who
really just cannot stay on track for, like...
Yeah, and they're so, like, hey, one good step forward, two bad steps backwards. Yeah. Like it's crazy.
It was so nice, because in Wrath of Lich King you could press a button, you could say, hey, I'm this role, I want to do either a random dungeon or this dungeon specifically, press it, continue questing, whenever it's ready they find all the roles, boom, you're in the instance. Now you have to like sign up, choose your role, someone actually has to select you, so if you're not a desirable class or race, then you might not get chosen. If your gear score isn't high enough, then you might like never get into a raid to make your gear score higher. It's just these people who play the game forever, unfortunately, kind of figured since it is their whole life and they're good at the game, then this must like they have to. Then they're better than everyone else, you know, because it is their whole life. And I don't know, the elitism in WoW is really, really bad. And if you're one of those people, just play the game for fun. It's a lot better that way. Anyways, yeah, so we kind of talked about the three different specializations. Like, for WoW, every character has three specs. Usually it's like a DPS, healing, and tank, if that's viable. Sometimes, like a warrior, you have a tank, and then one is like tank slash DPS, another one's DPS. Mages are just like straight DPS, three different trees, frost, fire, and arcane. Priests, you get one DPS, two healing. When it comes to Death Knights, there's one that's mainly for tanking, which is blood. Unholy is for sure DPS, and then frost can do tanking or DPS. So yeah. Blood is like large, slow attacks that maximize the utilization of each rune, which is like your mana, sort of. Unholy is like strength of pets and diseases, resurrecting things.
Saying damn like... in front of your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg Cousin.
Yeah, I said damn in front of my parents, and now I'm already level 55. Frost is like a flurry of quick attacks with a rotation that just like you always have to be pressing a different button depending on what proc you get. Proc being a special process, which you talked about in the Corrupted Blood episode. So sometimes you have like an item or an ability that says your next X spell costs 0 runes, let's say. So when that procs, you want to press that button as soon as possible, because then your next attack will have another chance to proc, right? So you don't want to waste your procs. The sooner you press your procs, the higher your DPS will be. So okay. Just like Frost can be really dynamic, where you're always having to kind of keep track of what situation you're currently in and make an on-the-fly decision of which button to press. Yeah.
And proc is like a gamer term generally, because I know, like, even me, the caveman of the podcast, knows what a proc is from, like, you proc buffs in Warframe, which I've been replaying recently.
Right. Like, yeah. I've been playing 5% chance to poison the target. Oh, I got a poison. Maybe proc'd, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or even when I was playing Fallout 4, when I was playing the DLC a couple weeks ago, like fire or like the critical hit that turns people to ash is a proc too.
Yep. Yeah. And I think we figured out it means special process, and it came from some game way back when. It might even.
I mean, in the same way that like bug came from, I think, like card fed computers the size of warehouses when like actual bugs were jammed between parts, right?
An actual moth, yeah.
Yeah.
Flew into one of the computers.
And I don't even know if it came from WoW, but like so much of WoW talk ends up being in other things like. Like Keck, yeah, that's the whenever a Horde player says LOL, an Alliance player receives that as Keck because it's a different language.
Top Keck, dude.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff too. But anyways, the Death Knights can do some pretty neat things. They can walk on water and enable their whole party to do so, even while mounted. So imagine a 40-man team running on the water at you on horses.
That's a very cool image to conjure in my head of like all the wacky mounts in WoW. That at least I remember from 2007 and whatever crazy shit there is now, like galloping across a lake, like led by some crazy man in blue armor. I'm like, yeah, I can see why people might be into that.
Yeah. Death Grips is something they do. It's a very, or Death Grip, I should say. Death Grips is a...
I was going to say, sick, dude. Let's go.
Death Grips is a blue item out of Strathholm that reduces disarm by 50% of the time.
Okay.
And I know that because I've played way too much WoW. Death Grip is a spell that it's a very annoying spell to deal with in PvP because they can pull a character to themselves.
It's a yoink. You yoink somebody. Yoink them right to you.
It's like a blitz.
It's your get over here.
Yeah, it's a get over here. You would not believe how many people have a macro set up so that they yell get over here when they use that spell.
You're not original. If a
normie like me thought of it, I can. It's an unimaginable number. I think it's everyone. Yeah.
Pete would play a hunter named XXX underscore Legolas underscore XXX.
Yeah, of course. You know it. You know what that other thing is? Because we talked about it on the bonus episode. Subscribe to patreon.com to get an extra half hour-ish, sometimes 40 minutes. The Lord of the Rings Online is still up and running.
Yep. I know a guy who plays it.
And it's free. And I was just like, I got the hunger. Maybe Jamie and I... If we could organize our shit, maybe Jamie and I could stream it for Extra Life or some shit in 2 months, right? Like,
we're both into that crap. I'd try it. The only thing I'd warn you, dude, is try and keep up, because I'm going to the end game before playing an MMO.
Peter, I don't know if you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, of course. Me, what's pots? And then Jamie's just, like 17 hours into the game.
Yeah, you might need to take a girlfriend. Take a vacation from your.
I see.
Okay. So imagine, like, you're at the top of a tower trying to capture it for your team, and you peek your, like, little, like, armored head over the side of the tower, and a DK's looking at you. They can just, like, pull you from the top of the tower to the ground, and all their friends jump on you and kill you.
Yeah.
They're very
and,
annoying.
And it interrupts casting.
Yeah, and if you're Blood Knight, it also does a taunt in PvE. Yeah, it's very annoying. Or, like, say your team is, like, Alterac Valley. This is one of the PvP battlegrounds. And the end goal is to basically, like, kill the king of the other faction, right? But they have a bunch of, like, PvE monsters around them in the throne room. So Death Knight can just hang out in the throne room. And while your group is, like, kind of grouping up to get ready to pull the final boss, you can make them prematurely pull by using Death Grip, pulling someone into the throne room. All the monsters come after you and then run out onto the front of outside the throne room and kill your entire team. So they're very annoying. Like, it, just one small mistake can really turn the tide of battle, and it changed the way PvP feels. That, and like, just by making a premature pull happen and a wipe happen, it just makes your team, gives that much more time to get ready and get the W on your side. And Death Knights don't use mana, rage, or combo points like the previous classes in the game. They use runes and runic power. So you start a fight with 6 runes, you use them for your spells. Using runes also generates runic power, and then the runic power also feeds in to generate more runes. So you're just constantly balancing these two resources and making sure that you're not running out too much of one or the other so you can't press your buttons anymore. Yeah. They've been around in Warcraft. So Warcraft, like the RTS way back when.
Not the world, though.
Exactly. And they were an enemy at first, and then they were a playable hero class, thanks to our boy Arthas. See the previous episodes if you want to see how he became a Death Knight. Death Knight in Wrath of the Lich King era, I sent a photo earlier. It's just like a dude in blue armor. He's kind of usually got like blue-looking spells. Looks very much like he's from a Winterland.
Winterland.
Yeah, very heavy plate armor. So they can look like that first picture, or they can look like that second picture, because you could be any race, so you can also be a little tiny gnome with glowing eyes and tiny little armor.
Yeah, it's all like dark purple, like there's fur lining, so there's like fur poking out of the cuffs and the joints and whatnot, like big tusks on the helmet, tusks on the pauldrons.
Yep.
Tusks as far as the eye can see, really.
Yep.
And then blue, like icy gems, and what honestly, in the chest, it looks like a wood stove, but it's blue instead of red.
Right. And there's lots of, like, skulls kind of, like, patterned on the armor, usually on the chest and belt. Their blades are long and runic. Like I said, like, the first... when you make a Death Knight, you start off in a special instance zone, and you get to meet the Lich King face-to-face, which is... I did it just to start the, like, opening zone, and it's a really cool feeling to, like, see the Lich King not on his throne where you have to fight him, and you're talking to him, and he's on your side kind of thing, and...
Does he say something cheesy?
He does, and I have a quote later that exactly what he says. We'll say it later, but...
I guess for Pete, because he can see it more than the listeners at home, but, like, this armor is, like, the starting Death Knight. So this is, like, this is your most basic Death Knight. You don't have to work for this. You get it by the time you're level whatever.
It's very elaborate. I don't know what kind of thing is wearing this armor. It's got three fingers, but... Okay, I was going to say, is it one of the cowmen?
Yeah.
It's a cowman.
Orcs are, like, the ones that you would see a lot, too. Because orcs on Horde side are, like, the optimal for the sweats. And because of one of their racials... one of the racials that gives you, like, 1% attack power or something like that, that stacks up or something. I don't know exactly. I haven't played it, but... And I know the human one gets a free... PvP trinket is a Rachel, basically, which you can get out of a stun, you can get out of a movement effect, is really good.
Torn has an AoE stun, I think, around
War
him.
Stomp. War Stomp.
War Stomp.
Yeah.
Belfs have an AoE silence, which I played a Blood Elf Death Knight. I played my Death.
Let me pull it up. I think they get specific ones as Death Knights. Yeah, there's like...
There's like specific racial...
Yeah, they did this for priests in Classic and then removed them for Wrath of the Lich King. But like there's Scent of Blood, Heart... Oh, wait, no, are these just the spells? Anyways, not that important. We can get into that. I'm looking at it now, and it looks like a spreadsheet.
We're gonna shift away from lore boys. We're just going to be like the meta build boys for this episode.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're wondering, if you want a Death Knight and you want to know what's optimal, I just know from friends, go orc on Horde side human on...
Yeah, dude, what's optimal for the sweats? Because that is absolutely something... God, I wish it was easier on a t-shirt. That's great.
So Death Knights were actually not always like this. The ones that you mentioned too, like the starting armor, you start off with an uncommon set, so that's like the gray, that's like the one above common, or like the white, I guess. Then you get...
Yeah, because it's gray, white, and then green, right?
Oh, no, green is uncommon. Sorry, white...
Gray white is common.
Yeah.
Gray is trash.
Gray is trash, white is common. Green is uncommon. So you start off with all greens. By the time you finish the starting zone, you leave with all blues. And then you're able to head off to Outlands to start your TBC adventure. And then level through TBC. And then you start Wrath of the Lich King in Northrend eventually. But these are like these are like the third iterations of Death Knights. These are like Arthas's Death Knights, the ones that we see in game. The first Death Knights were created long ago by Gul'dan, not the Lich King.
Okay.
Yeah. So way back...
Gul'dan sounds... That's a name that I know. He's the bad guy in the movie, right?
Yep. Yeah, and we even have a quick lore aside about Gul'dan, too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so way back when in the First War, so if you've watched the movie, you have a general idea of how the First War went.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to be the normie on this episode for this one, where it's just like, I know who Gul'dan is from my Netflix subscription.
Yeah, so basically, First War, in a nutshell, Orcish Horde takes over all of their home planet of Draenor. They got no one left to fight, so they're kind of fighting amongst themselves, and these orcs have red skin, not green skin, like we see in the game. Gul'dan is one of these orcs. He's a weak little shaman.
Do we have an episode about the guy who made the orcs green?
I'm talking about him now.
Too much Mountain Dew, dude.
I'm talking about
him. Okay, right, of course.
Yeah, so Gul'dan...
He cast Baja Blast on all the orcs.
Yeah, McTheridon cast Baja Blast on the red orcs.
Yeah. So Gul'dan actually starts off as like a little bitch boy. He's a weak orc shaman, and in the orc tribes, like if you don't have power, you don't have nothing. People don't respect.
He finds
you.
A demon named Jordan Peterson who makes all the
pretty
orcs
much.
Green.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much it, yeah. So picture this little like hunched over orc shaman. He's not very strong, and his whole tribe, he's just in the middle, and his whole tribe is like kicking him, beating the shit out of him for being so weak. And so he's like, he goes online and he wants to see how to become a man. And so he goes to...
I needed something like 12 simple rules, okay?
Yeah. he Googles how to be a man and dooms his entire race. Like, okay, yeah, that tracks.
That tracks.
Now he goes to the Throne of Elements. So as a shaman, this is like your... Kind of like your holy ground. This is where all the elements kind of converge. And he's like, I'm weak. Throne of the Elements, please help me. Like, I want to be a better orc. He goes and he actually like reads up on how to be nice to women and stuff, and and he's trying to do the good thing right now.
He's literally like I'm like a great shaman, you know. I'm a great ear, sympathetic ear to listen to. You know, I can give good advice, blah blah blah. But all the chicks just want to date swole guy Chad Thrall over there, just because he's a shaman, but he's also buff. It's like such bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
Or probably it doesn't take that much to be a shaman and probably also buff. I think Thrall probably just like whatever does his like CrossFit with a big boulder or whatever kind of technology
would have been
that they have.
Thrall's dad at this point. It would have been a Durotan.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Durotan.
Thrall's not born yet.
No, Thrall. Yeah, Thrall is born in the movie, right? He's like the main character or something.
He's born around the time where the orcs start coming to Azeroth. So we're not there
he's
yet.
He's Orc Moses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do the whole, like, baby in the basket down the river thing. But yeah, so Gul'dan's like, why do like Durotan and not me, Throne of the Elements? And Throne of the Elements is like, you are a little bitch. And they turn away from him.
your room's an absolute mess, okay? You're never gonna...
You're never gonna get the respect of the elements with a room like that, all right?
Yeah. Oh shit. What rules, you sons of elements?
Guys, I was having too much fun and I got kicked out of the game. Oh no.
I hit the cube for fuck's sake! 7,000 people, dude. 7,000 people!
I almost mentioned it before the time we talked about it, whether it was on the bonus or whether it was during this episode. But I was almost like, I can't wait for the inevitable recorded reaction of you forgetting to move in World of Warcraft.
It happened in Classic, too. I knew it was going to happen. It happened in Classic, too. I remember it happened in Classic. Oh, yeah. 139 minutes. Okay, we got a long episode ahead of us, guys, because I'm not stuck until I'm in.
Am I stuck here now, Jamie?
Yeah. Well, if I can't play my video games whenever this is done, you guys can't either.
I gotta clean my fucking aquarium. There's no audio now, Jamie. You didn't tap back.
Jamie got so mad he disconnected himself from the metaverse. Jamie's unplugged from it all.
Yeah.
He's returning to nature. Oh my god.
He can clearly hear us too, which is the best part.
We can for the listeners at home, we can see him, but he's broken his mic at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pick it up your headset mic for some reason. Jamie, I was trying to keep our spirits light in a difficult time, okay? Oh. And also your webcam is off.
Okay. We're recording. Welcome back, guys.
Jamie, your webcam is off.
Your webcam's off now.
I'm going to turn it on. It's movie magic. They can't see us.
All the difficulty with this guy. Huh?
Jamie gets kicked out of the WoW queue, forgets how his computer works.
Oh, dude.
Turns back to monkey.
Oh, my God. So frustrating, dude. I have to, like, literally sit in queue and basically keep somebody else from playing during prime time just so I can... Anyways. Back to the story. Back to reality. Oops, there goes gravity. We're still talking about Gul'dan, right?
Right.
Yes.
So
he got his green skin.
And killed Jordan Peterson.
Well, he didn't get his green skin yet, guys. You're getting ahead because we just recorded and it didn't work, but...
Oh! Yeah.
We're having all of the problems. Like, we just went ahead two paragraphs and they weren't coming through. I wasn't coming through at first, so Gul'dan.
You're right, I forgot.
Yeah,
me too.
Can I take a guess? He gets reached out to by a guy named Kill Jaden.
Yeah, so
that's cool, dude. Hell yeah.
This kind of sucks because you're getting ahead still.
Alright, I'll be quiet. I'm sorry.
The throat of the elements. The throat of the elements turned him away. So he goes to kill Jaden, which we established is kill Jordan Peterson, but don't actually kill Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson.
Or do.
Well, I'm not going to tell anyone to kill anyone on our podcast.
Well, I'm not telling them to. I'm just saying I'm not telling them not to either.
That's fair.
As a Canadian citizen, to tell somebody to either do or do not kill somebody, another Canadian citizen. Right? That's
gotta be mine. All right. Sorry, listeners, for this. All kinds of problems over here, and it all comes down to WoW, which is what we're talking about today.
It's a kerfuffle. Mm-hmm. It's all good. It happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Kill Jaden, he does reach out to Gul'dan. He's the weak little shaman that couldn't get his power from the Throne of Elements. So, he goes to the dark side of the internet to kill Jaden, and he starts teaching him the ways of the Fel, or Fel magic. That's the green evil magic that you see in the World of Warcraft and Warcraft universe. Featured in the film.
In the movie, Peter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Green man.
Yeah. So Gul'dan starts to study under Fel Demon, and he's becoming very powerful, but in the worst way. He's using twisted green Fel magic that feeds on life force around it. I don't know if you remember, but they tried to open the dark portal. And to open the dark portal, they had, like, cages full of living people, like Draenei and humans and stuff, and they would suck the power out of the humans to power the...
I do remember that's like a big plot point in the movie where people are being abducted and drained of their spirits to power the gate to whatever the other side.
Kind of like in Malazan too. What was his name? Covered in gold. He was doing that. Like, he had mages by the end that were all like crippled and bent and...
Rulad Sengar, yeah. I mean, that's more the saucy. Here's your Warren lore. We're just gonna give it piecemeal. That was more because he was a servant of the crippled god, who we established in some bonus episode a while ago. Who was like a cancer on the earth, essentially. So his magic would twist his followers.
Yeah.
Rulad Sengar wasn't necessarily like drawing power from them. It's just like their normal, like, mortal bodies couldn't handle his magic, so they would end up with, like, tumors and growths and, like, deformed bones and stuff just from using it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gul'dan, that although he's becoming, like, evil, he's also getting respect to the orcs, because orcs can kind of respect someone who could steal the life force from someone and put it into someone else.
Nerd boy's strong now?
Yeah.
What? In the nerd boy so weak before?
In the movie, Thrall goes through the dark portal and actually doesn't survive the trip with his mother. And Gul'dan steals the life force from a deer and gives it to Gul'dan, which turns his or gives it to Thrall, which turns his skin from red to green because he's reborn through fel magic.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And I looked into it, like, they all kind of just turned green over time. It wasn't like there isn't like a baptism in fel goop where you become green or something. It's like, it's just like over time. They used enough
they
of it.
They didn't put on their green robes, go down to the river of Baja Blast and like have a curate read from 12 Rules for Life and dunk them in to turn them green.
Yeah. So
at
yeah.
first there was nothing, and then God said, "Let there be Baja."
I haven't read the book, but I guarantee that's the first line. Or you know what, like when you write a book after someone dies, it's like the first page is like completely blank, except right in the middle in small font it's like says four or something. Yeah, like 12 Rules for Life, that first page just says four Baja Blast, right?
Four Baja. Yeah.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. Okay, cool.
So Gul'dan had a clean room. He was going to the gym. He's taking care of himself. He was taking care of his problems at home before trying to help other people. And now
in his room, good.
Yeah. Now he's kind of ruining Draenor. He's getting real strong and stuff. But they're
doing 11 Rules for Life deep now, where he's starting to ruin people's lives around.
Yeah.
Okay.
So every corrupted spell, although it had a wonderful effect, it corrupted the land. So over a much longer time, orcs fade from their normal red color to have light green colored skin. Some of them, by the time they get to Azeroth, already have green skin. Some of them are red. But by the time you actually play an orc, you can't really play a red-skinned orc. I think maybe with the Warlords of Draenor they added that option, but at this point in Wrath of Lich King, you can only play green-skinned orcs.
In the Warlords of Draenor expansion, you end up going through like a time rift or something, and you visit like Draenor before it was corrupted, and so like all the orcs are orange-skinned when you go through like this, I guess, in some sense. The invasion of...
It gets retconned like so many times. Yeah. So... Like, Gul'dan right now in the current canon did make the first Death Knight, but before it was said Ner'zhul made the first Death Knight. So it's...
Okay.
But as of now, Gul'dan made the first one. So Draenor's dying underneath them. The orc needs a plan. They didn't even realize it was because of Gul'dan's meddling, so they just thought the world was dying.
He's like sucking the life force out of the earth itself to turn people green.
I mean, he's literally, you know, that those... I guess certain personalities who are just like, no, fossil fuels aren't the problem. The millions I've made in fossil fuel investments, okay? Just ignore that.
Still doing the Jordan Peterson voice as though he's
100 years.
Also an oil baron.
He's got a cage full of dinosaurs that he puts his hand and sucks the life force. And turns to oil in the other hand.
They just turn to motor oil and just like seep into the ground beneath the cage of dinosaurs.
Yeah. All the ducks on the shore have now turned black because of all the oil on top of them.
The orcs turn green and the ducks turn black. I mean,
A paladin's cleanse spell is actually Dawn dish soap.
Dawn soap.
So Medivh, another player in this, he's the guardian of Azeroth. He's super strong mage.
He's played by Ben Foster in the movie, Peter.
Yeah. He sends visions of Azeroth and the plentiful resources they had to Gul'dan. So Gul'dan's like, whoa, there's this really cool thing. And then Medivh is like, also, I'm going to send you a vision of the dark portal. This is how you make a portal. Medivh is going to make a dark portal in Azeroth. Gul'dan will build one in Draenor. And through life force, they would open them up. So I think Medivh had to do an incantation while Gul'dan also drained life forces to open this stuff up. And then the orcs would invade and march to Stormwind and try and defeat the humans was the whole plan.
Okay. I think Google Ben Foster as well.
Oh, well, it's medieval in the Warcraft movie.
He was in Hell or High Water, and that movie kicks ass.
That movie does kick ass. Fine, good man.
Yeah. If you know orcs, they don't take much convincing to go to war. So they started building construction. Like, they wanted to build the Dark Portal. They're like, new planet, new people to kill. We don't have to kill each other anymore. This is perfect.
Yeah. Just the one rule for life of the orcs, right? Is war.
Yeah. Hey, we get to go to another world and kill kill somebody who's not us. Everybody win.
Exactly. Exactly. So why did Medivh turn on Azeroth as his guardian? Because Medivh is supposed to be looking out for Azeroth, so why is he sending visions to Gul'dan on how to come and take over the place he's trying to save? This is like deep, deep lore from 800 years before the events of the movie. His mother, who is the original guardian, Egwene, A-E-G-W-Y-N-N, she fought and seemingly defeated the titan named Sargeras. He's called the Dark Titan. He's like one of the oldest beings in Azeroth, kind of thing. And it looks like that she beat him, but really she just weakened him severely, and he cursed her child to eventually become evil. So Medivh had a seed of evil within him forever because of Sargeras, so it's not so much his fault.
Okay. Big is evil in this world, you'll come to learn.
And that takes us
right about... he goes crazy in the movie, right?
Yeah. There's like that whole scene where he's doing his incantations and he's got like the green eyes, like the fel magic. What's his name? Anduin.
I do hate myself for being so fucking normy for this one. I'm so sorry. And constantly referencing the thing I watched on Netflix a couple years ago. But
David
Bowie's son made that movie, and he also made Moon. He's like a good director and cared about it. Like, it was just kind of
honestly. Yeah, I thought it was campy, but it was enjoyable, I thought.
Yeah. If they did the death, like, I feel like if they did the Arthas timeline, like, it's such a captivating story. Like, who really cares about the first war on Azeroth? But, like, if you do the Arthas story, you get, like, such a pure character who goes full evil. I feel like they would have got more traction if they skipped to the third sequel instead of starting where they started. But, anyways, but.
That's well, if David Bowie's son is listening right now, we can use our Patreon money.
Yeah, three boys will watch your movie if you make it.
Yeah, the artist, it's kind of got like Star Wars vibes too, right? It's like Anakin or whatever. He's the guy who turns into
Darth Vader.
He's Darth Vader, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, after this break, let's take a little break. We'll learn about the first iteration of the Death Knight. So how Gul'dan made these, what they were like, because they were quite different than our normal Death Knights that we know today. So we'll see you right after these messages.
Bye.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back from the break, the real break, the one that we did on purpose.
The break's so nice, we had it twice.
That was like a super simplified first war explanation. Medivh and Gul'dan work together to open up the gates. Thrall, along with, like, I think Orgrim Doomhammer, rebel against Gul'dan. And Gul'dan never really goes away, though. He's still a bad guy, I think. Even now, he might be in one of the raids that is in retail, but I don't play retail. So all of you retail nerds, get fucked.
and tell us if he's in the new expansion, please.
Crunch at us, yeah.
So the first generation of Death Knights. So during that first war, Gul'dan had his Shadow Council, which are just shamans that he turned into warlocks. And they're like the casters of the Fel army. They're kind of all sick and twisted looking from using this magic, but anytime they would die,
the pallid, healthy glow of anyone who's read 12 Rules for Life, right? The sallow cheeks.
Yeah, exactly. They got a clean room, but they're really into painkillers. And so the first Death Knight ever, some of the real WoW nerds might recognize this guy. His name is Taron Gorefiend. He used to be a shaman, but became part of the Shadow Council once he got whatever pilled it is for that.
He's been fel-pilled. That's easy.
Fel-pilled. Yeah.
Green-pilled.
The green pill, yeah.
Death-pilled.
Yeah. So he fell against the humans' magics, but he resurrected to appease Orgrim Doomhammer. He brings up the Death Knight, and this is Taron Gorefiend. You might remember him from Black Temple, because later on he does team up with Illidan Stormrage. So he is a boss in the Black Temple that you have to fight.
Is he the first Death Knight? Is that what this is?
Very first Death Knight.
Okay.
Back in the first war, he was resurrected. Not many of the Death Knights still exist today after the first and second war. Most of them were wiped out, like of this generation of Death Knights. Modern Death Knights of the Scourge, they're like ghoulish fiends. They're not like... these ones that we have now wear plate armor. They all look frosty. They still have their mounts. They're like dead horses and stuff, but they're all about like hand-to-hand combat. But these old ones were like insidious necromancers who have huge intellect and huge magical power. So they might be wearing more of like a cloth setup, but on that same horse.
Yeah. I posted a picture in the, of Taron Gorefiend in the, Discord channel for comparison to like the very blue Arthas looking Death Knight. Yeah. This guy is very much more like 1980s style fantasy art that's like very gray and cloudy. Has like four like jagged fantasy swords that are holding an orb. So it's clearly like some sort of magic scepter, I guess.
Yeah.
Leathery wings, huge like irony spiked pauldrons, riding an undead horse.
Yeah. His horse is very the movie Heavy Metal from the 80s. It's actually cool as shit, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Great art.
Yeah, so, like, they also didn't always, like, fight fair. Like, they would use scare tactics. So, like, let's say your best friend is fighting next to you in war and he falls. They might, like, reanimate him and make him say something very personal to you. And just, like, freak you the fuck out. Like, take you right out of the battle mindset kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, they use...
The mental scars are the ones that never go away. That's a good strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Most of these Death Knights, like I said, were destroyed during the First War and the Second War. They're either killed by the Alliance or transformed into liches by Kil'jaeden. I believe...
I gotta say, the heavily armored hand-to-hand like undead knight monks is a very cool concept.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah, they're very strong, too. The second generation? So, after the Second War... This is closer to our Arthas story. Like, Arthas is alive, but not the Lich King yet. He's probably on his path to becoming the Lich King at this point. Because the plague exists. Kel'Thuzad has planted the plague already in some places. And some paladins are roaming from town to town trying to alleviate the suffering of anyone affected. They're trying to go around with their Dawn dish soap to get rid of the bread plague.
I think the marketing campaign for that soap would be less successful if it wasn't an adorable duckling and it was just like someone wearing dish gloves and like a wet loaf of bread.
or like a pox-ridden farmer holding a wet loaf of bread.
Yep. So the paladins like canonically are not affected by it, but the civilians kind of alluding to like what we said before in real life, would shun the paladins. They said, no, you're the ones bringing the plague. You're not the ones curing the plague. So get out of my town.
Yeah.
Which, and we maybe talked about this on the last Arthas episode, is like just knowing like, I guess, medieval or like dark age medicine and like how limited and batshit crazy it was. And then also understanding like modern germ theory probably was like a pretty accurate thing for those townspeople will be saying, right? Because who's not sheltering at home? These
these paladins are literally just like the international air travel of the time on Azeroth, yep. going from town to town, like bringing invisible germs. And they're like, yeah, we're immune to disease. They're literally just asymptomatic carriers. So
they come in and they don't look anything like them too. Like these dirty little townspeople and people on mounts with like blue and gold armor coming through, like holier than thou kind of people. They just didn't
I'm much less critical of like a mud farming peasant for in quotes doing his own research than I am of someone who has a phone in their pocket. Let's just apples and oranges here.
That's fair. So there's a small band of paladins. They're embittered by society's cruelty, so they come up with their own forum. And they say, we're going up to the plague source. So they hop on a boat, and they go up north on a grueling quest to Northrend. This is before Arthas? This is before Arthas.
Oh, okay. So there's other people who went to try this.
Yeah, because as Arthas, whenever you are still good Arthas in Warcraft, either 2 or 3, probably 3.
3, I think it is, yeah.
You do have to fight Death Knights before you become one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So these are the ones that you're fighting.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they go all the way up to Ner'zhul's icy fortress in Northrend. And on the trip there, they'd become dark and brooding. It might be kind of like a Lord of the Rings type thing where like their journey wasn't just their own thought. It was a magic was influencing them, changing their insides, turning them more evil kind of thing. Because by the time they're there, they're like, not the same happy paladins that were casting cleanse on the peasants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They only had the Joe Rogan to listen to on the boat ride up. So.
Yeah.
Came through totally and utterly corrupted.
And not even the full episodes, just the clips from YouTube. So like no context whatsoever.
Yeah. Absolutely the worst no context clips you can imagine.
So Lich King offers them untold power in the form of fitness supplements. In exchange for their services and loyalty.
Oh man, are we gonna? Do we get like a 20% off coupon for Alpha Fell? Is that what?
Yeah. So the weary, vengeful warriors, they accept his dark pacts, and although they retain some of their humanity, their twisted souls were bound to his evil will for all time. So they get their black vampiric rune blades, their shadowy steeds. And they're the Death Knights that serve as the Scourge's mightiest generals. And these are the second generation. It's the pre-Arthas, but they're almost the same at this point.
Okay, so first generation was Gul'dan.
Yeah, which is
second
like...
Second generation was Ner'zhul's.
Yeah, and then third will be Lich King Arthas.
Which you play as in the game.
Yes, and there's kind of a division between the two because there's a point where they become liberated because why would they be on the Horde and the Alliance, which we'll get to soon.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of remind me of the, because we did do several episodes about Halo, they do remind me kind of the Spartan program where they are being kind of iterated on as perfect warriors, but through magic instead of with science, right?
It's almost like a Witcher trial because whenever you become
a Death Knight,
like the modern Death Knights, whenever you wake up in front of the Lich King and you make your rune blade, it's because you made it through all the trials. And the people who don't make it through and their souls aren't strong enough or their bodies aren't strong enough, they get fed to ghouls along the way. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who don't make it.
Yeah, and it's just like interesting because it is like this idea of like different factions like or like. It is this idea of like iterating on the same like warriors, but it's like different factions doing it, I guess, for like the Gul'dan to Ner'zhul jump at least, right? Like obviously Arthas being influenced by Ner'zhul, like merging with Ner'zhul, but the Gul'dan like Death Knight really seem just like, oh yeah, this guy created them, Ner'zhul finds them and then decides like, I'm going to do that too.
So Ner'zhul and Gul'dan do have some form of communication. They are connected some way. It's likely that, like, and it was retconned that Gul'dan made the first one when Ner'zhul really did. So I think they retconned it that Ner'zhul influenced Gul'dan to make it in some way.
Okay. Oh, Ner'zhul is a orc.
Yeah.
I don't know if I realized that.
Yeah.
He was the war chief of the Horde of Draenor for a while. So, okay. So he was probably corrupted by Gul'dan at some point to turn into a real Dickums.
Yeah, it could be, or he, Sargeras might, I don't know the whole story, because there's so much, like, the root of all evil is kind of Sargeras, I feel like, so it might have somehow traced back to Sargeras, because it could have been Sargeras, it could have been Fel Demons, it could have been Gul'dan. I don't know enough about Ner'zhul to say.
I'm seeing Ner'zhul was immediately captured by Kil'jai Den when I'm really quickly scrolling through the, through the page, so who knows, honestly. Tune in next time.
Kil'jai Den, I think his boss is Sargeras, but someone yell at me if I'm wrong, but doesn't matter.
Yeah.
For now,
Discord link below if you want to yell at Jamie.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of WoW lore. It goes deep. It's been going long enough, and even as someone who plays it all the time, I don't know it all. But so years after the destruction of Jainor, the immensely powerful Lich King creates a new breed of Death Knights, malevolent, rune-wielding warriors of the Scourge. So the first of, like, the Lich King's, like, tier 3 new ones was Prince Arthas Menethil. He actually became a Death Knight, but, like, a better Death Knight. He was a mighty paladin of the Silver Hand who sacrificed his soul to get Frostmourne, that big, crazy soul.
I remember the Silver Hand as well, yeah. It's all these little, like, hidden lore memories in the back of my head here.
We also had the Ashbringer episode where we talked about the Mograines. One of the Mograines actually does become a Death Knight, and he wields the
Corruption.
Yeah, I think so. And he wields the corrupted Ashbringer. And a cool flavor thing, if you go into Naxxramas and you kill one of the Mograines, you get the sword, it gets to drop. Let's say you go to an Argent Dawn town. Argent Dawn are like, they hate the Scourge, that's their whole thing. They're against the undead. If you go to an Argent Dawn town wearing the corrupted Ashbringer, all the NPCs attack you. When they're normally like shopkeepers and stuff, they're like, you're part of the Scourge, we hate you, yeah.
Is that the episode where he did with like the, it was kind of like Red Desert theme with like the tall, like creepy bug dudes? Or is that something else?
No, that was Encourage. That was the bug people. This was just you and me, Pete, at my place. Ethan was busy. You came over and we did Corrupted Ashbringer. It wasn't like one of the ones that we had a lot of jokes for. We just talked a lot because it was one-on-one. You were sitting on my black couch that I had then, and I was sitting at my table here, and it was just one-on-one. I'm
glad you cataloged that for me.
just like old times.
Yeah. I have a memory, like most episodes, I don't always remember what we were talking about, but I remember where we were and where we were sitting.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
And me and Peter, before the recording started, just doubting Jamie like an idiot for showing us a picture on his Instagram feed about where it was.
we did do that. It was too dark.
So Prince Arthas Menethil, he becomes a Death Knight. If you want to know that whole story, we have two full episodes about it. One of the favorite ones that I've ever done. I read an entire book. I played two games, and I did a ton of research for that one. So if you want the full story of Arthas Menethil, I did it all back then.
And if you want to listen to the years before the tablet, one of my favorite pictures that I've ever done for the show as well is Arthas observing the crucified loaves of bread from that village. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Still proud of that one.
Yep. So yeah, unlike Gul'dan's Death Knights, who are basically sorcerers or warlocks, these are dark champions with unholy strength, plate armor, but they don't possess free will right now. They're entwined by the Lich King's vast consciousness, so they're part of like Lich King Skynet at this point.
It's a 12th rule for life, I think, is remove free will.
Yeah,
exactly.
I haven't read it, but that's from what I understand.
Join the Borg, resistance is futile.
Yeah. So a quote from Lich King Arthas, this is what you get when you create a Death Knight with that panning shot that we were talking about. It says, and this is the final playable version of Death Knights. We're getting to the Death Knights that we know now today, right? So a hero, that's what you once were. You stood boldly against the shadow and purchased another dawn for the world with your life. But the evil you fought is not so easily banished. The victory you claimed, not so easily held. For now, the specter of death looms over the world yet again. And it has found new champions to bring about its final reign. Knights of darkness, wielding runes of death and destruction, bound by the will of the Lich King. This is the hour of their ascension, the hour of your dark rebirth. And that was written originally for when you were supposed to kill your character to be reborn as. That is a
cool mechanic that I do.
Way cooler.
Like, I know the prestige in. I don't remember Titanfall 1, but Titanfall 2, the prestige mechanic is like straight up rewriting your guy's memories. Like, it's called. I don't remember what it's called exactly, but there's like a bunch of things and a bunch of crazy, like, computer text that goes past it, and like we've done episodes about that, and I remember like the Hammond robotics is very, very evil and whatnot. So the replacing your old personality with like an upscaled, more skilled version of your personality is cool, and just if it just contextualizes leveling up your character, that's also cool, right? Like, I like that a lot.
And I, like I said before, I love that you get through that, does the whole pan, and then where are you? But you're in Ebonhold facing the Lich King himself. And he's great at giving you a sword that you're about to enchant with runes. And you get to, like, craft your own sword, which you never really get to do unless you're, like, a blacksmith. And it's not, like, like a played-up thing. It's kind of just
not a process. You open a menu and you push and you watch the little green bar go to full. Yeah. And you're like, okay, cool, sword made, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Is the sword you make with Arthas part of your character? Do you level it up with you? Or do you just like run the same dungeons and get the same shit as everyone else?
You do.
You run the same dungeons. You get your runic sword just as like the one you get to leave the place with. You'll replace it. But if you played the Legion expansion in retail, everybody's weapon is an artifact. So likely you'd get like Frostmourne probably as a Death Knight. I didn't check, but I'm willing to bet that it's Frostmourne.
Are you out of date on retail or did you actually play everything?
I played everything.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, the whole thing for Legion is everyone gets an artifact. So every single class has like one of the strongest weapons in the lore, and you level up your weapon rather than replacing your weapon. So you had to get like certain currency to get nosed on your weapon, which unlocked more things. And did you see what the artifact was in Legion either?
So there's different ones per class, right?
Right.
So Blood Death Knight was Maw of the Damned.
Okay.
Frost was Icebringer and Frost Reaper.
Okay.
You had two blades, Blades of the Fallen Prince. Crafted by the Burning Legion to corrupt the world of Azeroth, the soul-stealing rune blade Frostmourne was shattered by Icebringer atop Ice Crown Citadel.
Okay.
Countless souls were freed from the broken blade, but others were fortunate. Today, the shards of Frostmourne can be crafted and infused with even more power. So you get shards of Frostmourne.
Basically. Okay, cool. It's like Narsil, the sword from Lord of the Rings.
The way to build Frostmourne in Wrath of the Lich King too, if you want to get the legendary sword, and I would love to get it on my paladin, but I don't think I'm going to put enough of my life into Wrath of the Lich King to get it this time around, because you have to have a whole guild backing you for this kind of thing. Because as you kill bosses in Ice Crown Citadel, which is like the big final best place you go to, where you fight the Lich King on his throne. Every boss has a chance to drop between like 1 and 3 of these shards. You have to put all the shards together and then do an epic quest. But it's kind of nice because it's not like some of these other places where it's like a 1% drop. So you can go an entire expansion and like, in theory, not get it because you only can do it once a week. You always get these little pieces that are building up towards it. So likely a few people in your guild by the end of Wrath will have it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 52 chances at a 1% drop a year is not something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's thumbs down from Pete.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I've only seen the movie on Netflix. That might be.
You're the one who was just saying you want to get into a new MMO with Jamie over here.
For charity, for fuck's sake. He was the one who wanted to drag me over the finish line.
And I guess we'll get to it in a bit, Pete, but like I think your rune blade that you make as a player character Death Knight not leveling up with you is kind of canonized in what Jamie was kind of saying, like that fourth faction of Death Knight who's no longer part of the Lich King's hive mind, which I assume we'll get to in a
We're really, really close to it actually. So like I said, you go through a Witcher-esque ritual, you go through all types of pain and torture to basically experience death and come back to life with a lot of other stuff on the other side. And like I was singing to myself in the soundcheck, only the strongest will survive. And those 2 weeks, they die or they get fed to ghouls along the way, like I said. One thing that all Death Knights share is they have an addiction of sorts, referred to as the Eternal Hunger. So they need to take painkillers and send out tweets every few hours.
Okay.
Yeah. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just
kidding. You're just doom scrolling.
Yeah. So it's referred to as the Eternal Hunger by High Lord Darian Mograine, who is one of the four horsemen in Naxxramas, who is equipped with the corrupted Ashbringer. We talked about him a bit in our Ashbringer. It's also referred to as the Endless Hunger by Dread Instructor Resuvius, who is also in Naxxramas. Resuvius had a really fun mechanic where you had to mind control one of his scholars and then taunt him with the scholars. So the tank wouldn't do it. The priest would effectively be the tank for that fight. But
that's neat.
The mind controls had like a 5% chance of resisting. And if it resisted, it would kill the whole raid and all their world buffs. So I got yelled at a couple times whenever my mind control resisted.
Unibomber, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But really, I had a partner who was another priest because you had to pass it off.
For the cooldowns.
For the cooldowns, exactly. She would often miss it a lot more than me and get really, really upset and yell at everyone in the raid. Like, make it everybody else's problem. I'd be like, sorry, resist, guys, let's do it again. But yeah.
Yeah, but like, why even pause? Like, why are they yelling it? Like,
yeah,
they just resist.
95% right? Chance to fail. Fuck.
You roll a d20. Like,
yeah.
Just, yeah.
Sometimes, but like, if sometimes people wouldn't actually resist, that if you pressed any WASD while you're mind controlling, it would break the spell.
Mm-hmm.
People.
So if you ever dropped any wine on your keyboard, it would fuck up there.
There's ways to mess it up. There's ways to mess it up. And some people would call that a resist. So. People would be sus. But,
okay, sussy yeah. Bacchus, I got you. Yeah. I could follow.
High Lord Darian Mograine, this is the Four Horsemen. If anyone mm-hmm. is a big fan of us, might have watched me do this on stream, but you have to separate all four horsemen. It takes 8 tanks. You bring all four horsemen to the corner of the room, and each one of the things gives out a debuff like every 15 seconds, and you can only handle up to about 4 stacks of this debuff. Then you have to move. So the healers would stay healing these 2 tanks here, who would be constantly swapping to not get like too many stacks of the debuff and die. And the healers would heal, 4, move to the next one, heal, 4. So you're constantly moving in a circle to not get too many debuffs. If the tanks let any of them get too close, raid dies. If any of the tanks, 8 tanks dies, raid dies. If the DPS stand in any of the things that can kill you, every corner has a different variety of things that can kill you. If we don't have enough DPS, the raid dies. It's one of the hardest things to do, and every single person in the raid is accountable. So trying to keep 40 people on the internet at 10 p.m. accountable after you've already been playing for 2 hours, good luck.
Yeah, yeah. James already spilled 2 bottles of wine on his keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. It's an awesome fight, and when it goes well, so fun. You're like, wow, I like we just worked together, everything went well, but also one that stopped a lot of guilds in their tracks. But not
Did
me.
You beat it?
We beat it. We beat everything. Yeah. We beat Kel'Thuzad himself. They're also taking Naxxramas, which was the final raid in Classic, and they're recycling it because most people, like 0.5% of players, got into Naxxramas during Classic, and even fewer than those beat all of Naxxramas because it was so hard back in 2004 when you're on like Ventrilo or whatever. Like, imagine trying to control 40 people on dial-up internet. Like, fuck.
Dude, imagine trying to see one titty on dial-up internet.
Yeah. It was impossible.
Yeah. So we get the first raid that we're going to get in Wrath is actually the last raid in Classic. So it'll be fun. We're coming back with new gear, new abilities, and we all know the fights. And we'll just, I'm sure, steamroll it. I'm not even worried about like pre-raid Biss. I'm just going to go to raid and we're going to be fine. About pre-raid Biss being pre-raid best in slot, which is your best gear for each slot.
Okay.
That's not in a raid.
That's fully geared out would be...
Yeah.
All Biss. All Biss, baby.
Yeah. I like my friends who never stop playing through TBC, they're like missing one out of 12 or 14 or however many pieces there are. Like they have everything is best in slot. But...
Okay.
Yeah. You get the Endless Hunger. It was coined by those two Death Knights who who you get to actually fight. And the hunger is you need to inflict suffering and or death on a regular basis, or else you become such great pain that you can go into like a murderous frenzy if you wait too long.
Right. So you were right earlier.
If you don't kill enough people, you might. If you don't kill enough people, you might snap and kill a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah, like they just keep a guy like tied up next to their bed so they can sleep with like a wheel that just has like a plank with one nail in it just poking into his back over and over again. Oh, he's like, oh, I can sleep. There's a little bit of suffering next to me.
I love this contraption that you've invented in your head. It's like a pendulum that just like irritates a man you have strapped up at home.
Yeah, it's like,
it's the Ferris Bueller's like when he's like pretending to be in the bed. So like his mom opens
on the door.
He's actually got the string tied to him. So it's whenever you roll over in bed because you're restless, you're starting to get restless because the addiction. Then it pulls the thing and slaps him with a little a little thumbtack on a. On like a plastic ruler.
Yeah. Or you sleep on a bed of people on a bed of nails. So you like roll over onto a person. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like instead of the box, you've got the frame, then the box, and then your mattress. The box is peasants on a bed of nails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
I knew I shouldn't have trusted those paladins. This is what happens. You know? Yeah. It's like, no, you would have let them heal you. Anyways.
On the Ferris Bueller thing, do you think they would think to like gallop a horse backwards to try and make it less tired?
Yep. After sating the hunger, right after you're created as a Death Knight, you have to duel other Death Knights in a ritual known as Death's Challenge, which is born from the Lich King's victory over Illidan's Stormrage in the Frozen Wastes, which we covered.
Now, is this a PvP thing, or is this like a tutorial for the combat?
You don't actually have to do it, I don't think.
Okay.
I haven't leveled my Death Knight far enough. Maybe there's a point in the starting zone where it's like kill three other players or something, but this is just lore for now.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, but I don't think it would be PvP even if it was a thing. Like, PvP quests were never, like, they couldn't tie a story progression, especially in the DK campaign, because, like, to start as a Death Knight, you, like, have to do the first couple story missions, otherwise it's just, like, you're in the middle of nowhere, it takes, like, an hour to walk out of there, like, there's no other quest lines in this, like, starting zone. So I couldn't imagine they'd tie it to something that's, like, oh, if you're on a Horde-favored server, and you're playing Horde, you got to just wait till like Alliance players show up and roll a Death Knight to like right? Yeah. So if anything, it would just be other like NPC.
The only PvP quest that I can think of is in Shadowmoon Valley in the Burning Crusade. You have to kill three players and loot them, which gives you corpses that you have to leave out to like lure a dragon down or something. I've never actually done it, but I've seen it on stream. Yeah. But it's an optional quest too. It's not something you have to do. How does a servant of the Lich King become a member of the Alliance or Horde in game, right? I don't know if this happens in game, but it must, because you start on the Lich King's as the Lich King's friend. I need to finish the starting zone, but there's something called the Battle for Light's Hope Chapel. Light's Hope Chapel is a town in Eastern Plaguelands, and it's exactly what you would imagine. It is just a chapel. They go and fight there. It's held by the Argent Dawn, which is the people who will attack you if you have the corrupted Ashbringer. So in betrayal of the Death Knights, the Lich King was going to sacrifice them all to kill High Lord Tyrion Fordring. So he's about to throw a bunch of dead people under the bus. But Tyrion, being the Chad he is, he defends Light's Hope Chapel along with the Paladins of Silver Hand. And he pushes back the Lich King and also liberates some of the Death Knights.
Frees them from the Lich King's hold on.
Exactly. They still have like the hunger and things like that, but they have their humanity and they can still do good. There's one Death Knight in the lore, I forget his name, who saves his sister even after becoming a Death Knight.
I'm a real boy!
Yeah, so the freed Death Knights took the town of Acherus, A-C-H-E-R-U-S. That's the former Scourge City. They took it from the Scourge and formed the Knights of the Ebon Blade under the command of High Lord Mulgrain. And the Ebon Blade sends all the freed Death Knights to their respective factions, either Alliance or Horde, basing on what it shows. So,
yeah.
Yeah, in theory...
Don't worry, we freed you from serving in the Lich King's army, but now you can go rejoin your faction army and fight against other people.
Yeah.
Don't worry, things are still good.
Yeah. They've used the Dawn Soap to cleanse off the Death Knight stink, and now you've been sent back to your respective... your little line of ducklings. You're back there. Bright yellow as the day you were born.
As a fun aside, there is another Death Knight called Baron Rivendare, who's still under the Lich King's grasp, and he is the last boss in Strathholm, Undead Side.
Okay.
So the Culling of Strathholm is when you as Arthas killed all the humans, so they wouldn't become Scourge. But now Strathholm is covered in Scourge, and as a Retribution Paladin, something I like to do now is, it's my gold run, it's also a mount run that I'm trying to do, is I solo Strathholm, which used to be a 5-man dungeon in level 60, but at level 70 with all the new Ret Paladins are busted right now. Like, no one can beat a Ret Paladin. I'm going in and I'm pulling the entire instance. I drop Concentration with his AoE. I press a button called Divine Storm, which is 125% of my weapon damage and heals me for 25% of that damage done. Like, I just don't die and I kill everything in AoE. And plus, like, all your holy spells are, like, guaranteed to crit on undead and everything's undead in there. So I just run this thing, like, 4 times an hour. I make about 200 gold an hour, and I get a chance at a 1% mount every time I do it. And
still no, though.
I don't have, I've done 29 runs.
Mr. Moneybags, but no pony.
Exactly. I'm past 10,000 gold, so I'm getting ready for Lich King. I think I'm pretty much ready now.
I remember the economy. It's like 100 copper is 1 silver, and 100 silver is 1 gold. You have 10,000 gold.
Yeah.
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 I mean, from classic, copper never really mattered. Like, they could have made like copper worth more, but because of the auction house, like, it is kind of supply and demandy at a certain point, so
hyperinflation took a place too. Like, there's like bots accounts. Blizzard doesn't get rid of the bots because they're paying monthly fees, so they don't care. So basically, and then you go to a GDKP, which is gold. Well, it's kind of long to explain. The DKP used to be Dragon Kill Points. You would do things in your guild to earn Dragon Kill Points, which would be your currency to buy gear, but now gold is the currency. Everyone goes in. And some, let's say something nice drops, you can leave with like 30,000 gold a piece. Like, everybody, because enough people have spent money and everybody has so much money on the server, money's worth so much less that, you can, I know someone who spent 100,000 gold on the 2 glaives from Illidan. You could spend a ton of money and everything's inflated. A lot of people went to fresh servers because the gold's not inflated yet. But
it really is just like a window into society. I'm so glad we did like WoW episodes before the pandemic and then now afterwards, just to be like, oh yeah, WoW just is real life.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's a cool, I mean, all MMOs and like WoW maybe the most because it's like the most successful in a lot of, by a lot of metrics, right? In terms of like player base and stuff, but it's such a cool like sociological just experiment, or not even an experiment, but just like a sociological like window, you know, that you can just like look at how people react when you take certain restrictions off.
Check out the Corrupted Blood incident from August 2019 if you're interested.
Might be too real. I do like the fact that, like, I'm trying to think of an anthropologist. It's just like, do I want to, like, embed myself with a tribe of people who still eat other people, or do I want to embed myself with people who play WoW? I'm just like,
it's tough call.
Flip a coin for that one.
One of the events just finished with the Wrath of Lich King coming out. We're in pre-patch, which means you have access to all of the skill trees that will be at level 80, but you're only level 70. So through strategic ways of like, you can plan your build and also get access to things that only exist in Wrath of Lich King. So we're effectively more powerful at level 70 right now than we would have been in TBC. But anyways, there was an event where there is infected bread in one of the port cities, Booty Bay. And if someone eats the bread, then they can take a teleport to a main city and as a zombie attack other people or blow themselves up, which infects everyone around them. And you have to have either a druid or a paladin who can cure diseases to get rid of this. And it's a 10-minute debuff on you. If you don't get it off in 10 minutes, you too turn into a zombie who then infect people. So what it turned into is like you go into a room where there's quest givers and there's literally 200 zombies there. Like, like everyone is a zombie. And then there's trolls who are like taking, queuing for PvP battlegrounds and then exploding while we're waiting for the gates to open. So all 40 of us are zombies who cannot mount up and the other team is fine. I got turned into a zombie by a rogue named Bobka. Anyone who plays a lot of WoW will know that's a fantastic rogue who's been at the top of the charts since like the beginning of Classic, even before then. And I was like, oh man, I'm nerding out. Like, this is like a really big WoW player. And he turned me into a fucking zombie and didn't reply to my whisper. I'm like, thanks, dude. But that finally just ended yesterday, thank God, because you could not do anything in any major city. So that was Death Knights. If you guys want to play Wrath of the Lich King, a great place to jump in and get to level 70 in time to start Wrath at the end of the month, you could start off as Death Knight. There's 50% extra experience until the game comes out too, so you can also level up really quick. Not that I should be selling anything more for Blizzard, but anyways, I like it. I'm having fun.
Amy needs his breast milk, dude. Let's go.
Do you like Peter and play on a private server in your friend's basement in 2007? Yeah. That's all the World of Warcraft
you need. Yeah. That's the only way I endorse it personally.
They're
yeah.
banning so many people lately. I have to say, I do not condone. I UNICEF WoW do not condone. Just in case, scouts on. So Ethan, take it away.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. If you guys want to help the show, you can leave us a review or just tell your friends about us. Peter, is there anything exciting going on in the Instagram world these days?
It's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram if you want to check out any of the artwork or send us DMs. I know a lot of people have been doing it recently. I think I kind of don't give Instagram enough credit, I guess, as a social media site. But thank you to everybody who reaches out via Instagram, and also hello. I'm sorry if I miss your messages. They get filtered out. And also, I guess, like, comic-wise, because I know some people are waiting for that, the comic that I've been working on for the past couple of years. I have enough done now where I think I sent my publisher a message last week. I think we're going to start putting together some kind of teaser, like in black and white, or maybe a little teaser video, whatever they want to do. But there is enough stuff to get that rolling. Of course, that also depends on them and what they're also working on, and then me and my job and whatnot. So look forward to it, but as with everything on the Little Boys, maybe look forward to it slowly. I think would be the best way to do that.
Look, it's hard to be a creative and hold down a job. Okay, we've said it before.
It is.
Jamie, is there anything you wanted to plug, my little creative butterfly?
Just come hang out in the Discord. You get to see all the memes that we talk about. We often post it in there. And if you're a patron sub, there's extra secret channels where you can see all of stuff where we hang out.
Usually not just a patron sub, but a patron top too. Like, whatever. Money, baby.
I try and be especially active for the folks who are supporting the show. So if you want to really get some attention from the Lore Boys, you want us to really look at you and tell you to clean your room, then come over to the Prime Folks.
We were acting like David's dad in the Prime Folks channel the other day.
Yep. Today.
The link to the description is in the, or the link to the Discord, excuse me, is in the description of this episode. The link to the description is right here, and it's just down below, my friends. Scroll down. you can join us there if you want to support the show and become a patron, patreon.com/theloreboys, or you can get access to panels that Jamie was talking about. I posted, 6 pictures of me trying on various glasses for Jamie, and we're going to have the people vote from those 6 glasses, and Jamie will have to buy those glasses.
And keep in mind, these guys have different faces, so that is going to be, that's a big one.
That's patreon.com/loreboys if you guys want to support. We'll chat you at the top of the show. We have some discussions there, and we post some bonus content, like a mysterious clock with 3 equal length hands that is slightly offset and no numbers. We'll let y'all figure it out tomorrow. One of the
I do want to shout out Patreon overall. Big thank you to all the patrons. I think based on like our listener to Patreon ratio, our patron ratio is
what I think is suspiciously high. So, like, thank you to everybody who supports the show. I think this is, like, very, very good. I'm glad that we've cultivated, like, a
supportive... Don't make it sound like we're rich or nothing. Like, it's not that high. Like, we got a lot of good people, but it's
we're
not...
But we're not a big show either. I'm just saying, it's like, thank you to all the support. It's, like, it's great.
Guys, we wrapped this up. We got that lunch with Bezos and Zuckerberg in a bit, okay? Can we hurry this up a bit, honestly?
Yeah.
Kind of dragging.
Yeah. Never mind. Thanks, idiot.
One more time, that's patreon.com/lorboys if you want to listen to that. And if you guys don't trust Patreon, if you think that we are getting paid too much, then of course we do have Loreboys Prime, something that we've always had from day one, that you guys can support. So it should be no secret that Jamie, the psychologist of the group, got his degree in psychology, has been running some experiments on me and Peter, and has established that each of us is either a cannibal tribe or a group of World of Warcraft players. So we're not going to tell you guys which one's which. Maybe we're both cannibals. Maybe we're both World of Warcraft players. But we need people to sign up to come to Pete's barbecue and come to my barbecue. And we won't say what's on the menu, but it might involve a little bit of playing World of Warcraft with me, maybe eating people with Peter. So to get in touch with us, of course, we don't have a P.O. box. But you can just put your precious goods in a basket, float them down the river like the baby Moses. Yep. And if the Warcraft movie taught us anything, it's that they will get there. They will get to us.
Either that, or you can leave a box of bread with your message in a busy sea, like a seaport or something like that. Someone will open it up.
Go to your local seaport, your local pirate watering hole in a seaport, and leave some old bread.
Yep.
And we'll get the message.
Yell positive intentions into a public mailbox. That's also fine. And they'll make it to us.
Yeah, exactly. Gary, the postman, knows me well. And I think that would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys.
Out.
Out.
I mean, most people are idiots, man. They don't know how to win, you know? Like, just because three idiots reported me doesn't mean I should be banned. They don't know how to play the fucking game, dude. Like, oh my god. Yeah,
I love Jamie's MMO salt. the real gamer moments that came out, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.